The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Isn't that a beautiful picture? A vineyard, a cluster of grapes attached to a vine, and that's pretty cool. There's really a cool one on the front of our bulletin, too, kind of looking up through a branch with all kinds of vines and clusters of grapes. You know, this is one of God's favorite metaphors in both the Old Testament and the New Testament for his church. Metaphors, tropes, a twisting of, a turning of a word. All figurative language falls underneath that category. And it's meant to convey some wonderful truth. I had a person one time say to me about one of the various tropes in the Bible, it doesn't mean anything. Wrong. God uses this rich language to show even a richer spiritual reality to our life with Christ. And here it is. Here's what your life looks like with Jesus. He's convinced of it. I'm not sure if we are. But he thinks of his connection to you as intimately and as profoundly nourishing as a branch is connected to a vine. That's pretty close. That's pretty powerful. But there are important things he wants us to understand about that. He wants us to abide in him. And so our message this morning is titled, Connected to Jesus. Connected to Jesus. That's what we are. Maybe it happened when you were baptized, grafted in to the body of Christ. Or you first heard the gospel and you said to yourself, that's for me. He did that for me. You were grafted in. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, God talks about taking a vine out of Egypt, planting it in the Jordan Valley, and it grew. The Old Testament church. And in a way, it's fulfilled in Christ and his body, the church, that's now this beautiful picture, this intimate connection of a branch and clusters of grapes. That's you. That's me, connected to Jesus. But there are some things we need to understand. There are signs of a struggling connection. How often do you struggle with fear? How often do you struggle with pride or guilt or shame or greed or lust, pride, arrogance? All these things have a way of messing with our connection, and it shows that we're not necessarily very well connected. How did the epistle reading say? Perfect love casts out fear. So what kind of a crop doesn't want Jesus? Okay, what kind of crop does Jesus not want us to produce? A crop of fear. And so he seeks to provide to us God's love so that love casts out fear so that we can love. I guess for us to understand how we have a bad connection, we also have to understand what it means to have a good connection. So for us, when we're struggling with pride or lust or greed or fear or shame or guilt, we need to confess those things to the Lord. That's the stuff that we need to give to Him so that His love and His forgiveness can flow in us. Lord, I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I want to produce fruit to your glory and to your good. And what does that fruit look like? Well, it's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, self-control. It's all those things that can bless us across all that our life is made up of. I mean, how many different hats do you wear? How many different lives do you touch, and for different reasons, for different purposes? In and across all those, Christ intends to grow all kinds of fruit to the glory of God our Father. And so understanding that we can die on the vine, we must heed what Christ says today in abiding in his word. I mean, are there places in your life you feel like you're just drying up? Maybe it has to do with something in marriage or in parenting or grandparenting, something with relationships at work or in your neighborhood or even in your own home, where you just feel like you're dying on the vine. You know, we need God's love. We need God's forgiveness and His mercy so that those things can be taken from us. And that's what Jesus loves to provide. I mean, how did He say it? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Boy, does that mess with our secular humanism, where we think we're pretty capable on our own. In truth, as far as Christ is concerned, apart from him, nothing is accomplished. Man, makes you want to stay connected even more to Jesus. Amen? I mean, we need that connection. I need that connection in my life across the spectrum of who and what I am. You do too. And here's an amazing thing about it. Christ is convinced that we have that connection. As intimate as a branch to a vine. As intimate. And then, you know, when we let anger, I mean, it's like, I mean, if I started cutting the knuckle right here, you'd say, what are you doing? You need that pinky finger. Of course, I'd say thank you if you said that. But why would I want to do that? And yet, how many people, when they let anger start to consume, or fear? I had uncles that changed the oil of all of their equipment, and they would pour it around the foundations of all the outbuildings. And guess what didn't grow around those? Anything alive. Now, it's not about oil, but you and I, to the soil of our hearts and minds, we have people, places, things, ideas being poured into that precious soil that does what? To our connection to Jesus. Stifles it, stunts it, maybe tries to cut it off. And we have to be careful about the things we hear. We have to be careful about the things we watch. We need to learn to say, no, I'm not going to drink that in. All who are thirsty, come to Jesus. Love that song. Because He's the one who will nourish us. He's the one who will care for us. Because He wants to produce within your life and my life good fruit. And nothing else can do that. And we want to bear good fruit. Amen? How many of you love to buy organic? Pretty expensive, but how many of you just go to the regular section of the produce and vegetables? Yeah.
How many of you go over to the section that says, this has only been treated a little bit by diesel and fungicides? Anybody go to that section? I mean, who would want to market their stuff that way? And yet, you and I have to be careful in what we take into the soil of our heart and mind, because it can be the stuff that does not produce good fruit. I mean, how many ways do we produce that? In the way that we think about the people around us, talk and conduct ourselves. Are you ready to say, Lord, have mercy? Let's say it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because that's not the kind of crop we want to grow either. And why? Because we're connected to the vine. And though we live in a world where there's all kinds of toxic fruit being produced, the Lord wants us to be a blessing to the people in our lives, to bless them in Jesus' name. Kind of like Philip. You know, he's going about his activity. The Lord tells him, go talk to this eunuch. And he ends up having a mission event. And obviously, God's already working. I mean, and isn't that the truth? I mean, where do we start anything that God isn't already in, right? I mean, that's the good news about being in God's vineyard. He's always at work. The challenge is for us to say, yes, sir. We'll go there. We'll do that. We'll share that which is nourishing us. We'll share Jesus. I love it where Luke says, and beginning with Jesus. He told the good news. And that's part of your life and my life. Aren't you thankful there have been people that have shared with you the good news? And it's our turn. But what does that mean? This might be a little shocking, but what are some signs of good connections? Being pruned. Now, there's no reason for me to cut that plant. And frankly, we feel that way about some of the pruning God does in our lives. Ouch, that hurts. I mean, when you use this on shrubs and whatnot, when you take out the big saw for the tree, what do those things say? Nothing. They're mute. Now, if they could talk, what would they say? How dare you touch me? Ouch, that hurts. I've had this interesting relationship with my wife all of our marriage because I tend to be the more conservative pruner and she shows no mercy. And needless to say, there's been some pretty interesting conversations about that. And I'm starting to get it more and more. Just trim it. Cut it up. And of course, when it comes to those big, selfish oak trees that kill all the grass, I'm all for raising that canopy and thinning it out so the light gets through, so the grass has some kind of a chance. But it's still, I find myself when Karen is doing things saying, gosh, why? Why'd you do that? I mean, I've said it pretty recent. Because I don't always think she knows what she's doing. Not that I know what I'm doing. But if we have that kind of struggle with these kind of simple things, we really struggle with our Father. And yet, keep in mind, brothers and sisters in Christ, our Father prunes us because He loves us and He wants to bless us. And there are places in your life and my life where we say, ouch, that hurts. You've got to be kidding me. So what do you do with those places in your life where you find yourself hurting? Trust the Father. Give yourself to Him. And trust that He actually wants to produce a bumper crop in your life. Now, don't keep score. Don't keep track. We're not even sure what all that fruit looks like. But we can know this. Connected to Jesus, it'll be wonderful by God's design. And it'll be to the glory of the Father. It'll not be to your glory. It will not be to my glory. It'll be glory to the Father. Because that's his desire for your life and for my life. And so even when it hurts and it doesn't make sense, he's got this big plan for your life and my life, that we would bear, how did Jesus say it? Bear much fruit, not just a little bit, but much fruit across the spectrum of who and what we are, whatever that looks like, however that works. We don't even know, but he does it so that our thoughts, words, and actions, what we say no to, what we say yes to, how we seek to heed the Spirit's guidance, like Philip did, we do so knowing that it's all part of God's plan for our life as part of his vineyard. Part of his vineyard. Part of his vineyard. Now, we still have to acknowledge the fact that that's not very easy to deal with. We hear it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, where we're not sure who the author is, whether it was Paul or Apollos, but we hear this in chapter 10. After the great faith chapter, we hear this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we could say grapes, stick with the metaphor, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I know we're mixing metaphors, now we're athletes. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, part of the pruning that takes place in your life and my life is as we face the sinfulness of the world around us. It does hurt. It doesn't make sense. But in those places, we are learning not to grow weary and lose heart. It goes on. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. In so, God is treating you as sons. For what son is disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have had all human fathers who discipline us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines, we'll put in the word prunes, us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Boy, amen to that. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Maybe right now you're going through something where you just think to yourself, I don't know how much longer I can handle this. Trust that God's at work. Maybe you're coming out of something where you say, man, I'm sure glad I endured that. Now I'm starting to see what God is doing. Thank you. Maybe you feel like you've just been trimmed up to nothing like my wife does to some of our stuff. Well, just say, hold me, Jesus. Hold me, Jesus. Hold me, hold me, hold me. You're connected to him. And though it might seem threatening, and there are times in your life and my life where you think, wow, here I am, and this is where I'm at. Well, you're not going to stay there because you're going to grow. You're going to move from that. And in connection with Christ, you'll be better for it. And I know there are places in your life and my life where we still can only take that by faith. Well, that's being connected to Jesus. He's got you. He's connected to you. And connected to him, this intimate, sacred connection he has with you, think of all the good fruit you produce connected to Jesus. You know, I should just keep this out here. You know, there's a passage that's just an amazing thing. And it's Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. And he says it this way. He says, now to him who is able to do immensely more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, see, we're connected, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Paul's just stunned. He realizes this wonderful connection, the power at work toward him, the power at work within him. And while you and I primarily have to just take that by faith, we can trust it just like he did, and also understand a promise that Jesus gave in our reading just moments ago. Whatever you ask, how did he say it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. The Lord wants us to abide in his word. I feel bad for all the people that don't take time to do devotions. Just do a minute and a half devotion if you can't do a long one. You know, sometimes longer devotions make you wander too much in your mind. So do a short one if you can't do a long one. If you can do a long one, do a long one. But keep connected to the word. See what the word does for your day. And then produce like a grapevine. And keep in mind, not only can you ask for yourself, but I'm convinced that some of the most important fruit we can produce is praying for the people in our lives. I mean, praying for the people we're driving next to on 75 or the tollway. Certainly there's a lot of prayer needed in those places. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Asking and calling upon the Lord, giving him praise, asking for help, having him take away the pride or the bitterness or the shame or the guilt or the anger or whatever, and asking to be filled with the hope, peace, joy, and love. That certainly are signs of a good connection. And if you're seeing some struggling connections in the lives of the people around you, pray for them. We all need it. That's the life of a grape attached to a branch that's connected to the vine. And what a glorious picture that is. One of God's favorite illustrations of the church. And certainly today we see it's one of our Savior's favorite illustrations of our relationship with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.